You see, as long as churches teach the word of God and there is revival within that church, listen, we are safe. But the day that any church doesn't teach the word of God and they go on to a social gospel and entertainment and hype, that church will not only die, the wrath of God will come.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We are glad to have you along with us today for the conclusion of our series in 2 Chronicles. As Raul explores how a young king instituted spiritual revival in Judah, you'll be challenged to consider what you're doing to establish a godly heritage for the future generations of your family. Stay with us to examine the spiritual impact of regular prayer and Bible time in your home. Let's listen as Raul Reese begins in 2 Chronicles chapter 34.
We're coming to the conclusion, and what's interesting is that this is a time now in chapter 34 when King Josiah comes to the throne as a young child. But also it is a time when the prophet Jeremiah is also fulfilling his ministry. And if you've ever read the book of Jeremiah and the Lamentations of Jeremiah, the prophet, you will understand that he was called the weeping prophet. And the reason he was called the weeping prophet is because he ministered for 52 years to the people of God. And in 52 years of his ministry, not one person came to know God. Not one in 52 years. He was called the weeping prophet. And as I started thinking about the prophet Jeremiah, and then looking at chapter 34, because now as we look at the nation of Israel, Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, they're getting ready to go into captivity. The judgment of God is coming. God will use Babylon. God will use King Nebuchadnezzar to make three sieges against Jerusalem and take the people of God into captivity for 70 years. For each year that they actually worked the land, they were supposed to work it 6 years, on the seventh year to let it rest and to live off the land. And yet they didn't do that. They disobeyed God. Also because of their idolatry worship. They worship many gods. And so God, now his hand is extending out and beginning to judge his own people. When we look at America today and we look at what's going on in the Middle East, we can see that there's a fear in the world today, not only with terrorism, but people are wondering what's going to happen in the future. We are coming to the time that we already have foreseen for many, many years, where we really believe that the word of God has to take effect in the life of the people. And yet here in the closing words of 2 Chronicles, in chapter 34, we have now the king Josiah coming into power. It says, and Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. So here we see him just as a little child at 8 years old. And what is he doing? He's walking with God. Notice that. He's walking with God. I think it's really important that when we read the Proverbs, we not only get exhorted by the Proverbs. If you're a parent, how you're to teach your child about God. And if you're a grandparent too, to teach your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren about God. They need to know who he is, how he is creator of all things and healer of all things. You know, when you come to him, that they can trust him. here Josiah was not only chosen of God, but he decided that he would not only walk with God, look at verse 2, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. He's walking just like his grandpa, David, doing what's right, loving the Lord, keeping away from idolatry. And yet, verse 3, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 20th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images and the carved images and the molding images. Notice the effect that the gospel took on his life when his father and his grandfather taught him about idolatry. The first thing he did at the age of 8 years old, he began to take out idolatry from all the land at the age of 8 years old. Now you say, well, what kind of idols was Israel worshiping? They were worshiping, number one, Molech. Molech. The worship of pleasure. The worship of baby abortions. The second god they were worshiping was the god Ashtaroth, the worship of sex. And the third god they were worshiping, the god Baal, the worship of power. Three major gods that ruled over the people of God, and they had their idols everywhere. In their homes, in the fields, everywhere for protection. And yet they were moving away from Jehovah God. And yet God raised up a young child by the name of Josiah here to go ahead and to actually take away idolatry and to come to the throne because he loved the Lord his God. And then it says in verse 4, they broke down the altars of Baals in his presence and the incense altars which were above them. He cut down the wooden images and the carved images and the molded images, and he broke in pieces and made dust of them. And he scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. Imagine that. Every pornographic image he cut down, destroyed, knocked it all down. We know that today, we have a real problem today with the internet. The internet has given the way and the liberty for young kids and teenagers and young adults and even old men to go in and to watch pornography through the internet. And it destroys marriages. It destroys young people's minds. And yet this is the kind of thing that the people of God were doing at the time of Josiah when God was getting ready to judge the nation of Judah. They never learned what happened to their sister in the north. They should have learned when Assyria came and took them away in 722 BC. And they were scattered too and destroyed. But yet they did not learn the lessons that were given to them here. This is now prophetically coming to fulfillment from 1 Kings chapter 13, 300 years before it happens. God speaks of it here in verse 5. Notice what he says. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Before this would happen, 300 years before, God prophesies it and brings it to pass. Just like he said it would happen. As they would scatter the dust over the graves of those who sacrificed such gods and burn their bones of the priests, the leaders, on their altars and cleanse Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and as far as Naphtali and all around with axes. And when he had broken down the altars and the wooden images and had beaten them, the carved images into powder, and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. I really believe that the only way, because there are people that come to Christ, but at the same time they keep their little idols in their houses. Pictures. Different things. And I think it's really of importance that when you come to Christ, the Bible says all things what? Are gone and all things become brand new. We need to take an inventory of our hearts, an inventory of our lives, an inventory of our homes, and to get rid of everything that's an idol in our lives. Why? Because idols gather together demons. Demons live among the idols. And people get harassed. You can't be a Christian and be an idolater. You cannot do that. You're not a Christian then. God is a spirit, and those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what does Josiah do? He cleans up the land among the people. Look what else he says. Verse 8. And then in the 18th year of his reign, he's now 26 years old. When he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, and the governor of the city, and Joach, the son of Joash, and recorder, and to repair the house of the Lord his God. Notice that what he does now after cleaning the land, he wants to rebuild the temple of God, the place where the people can come and worship God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites who kept the doors had gathered them from the hands of Manasseh and Ephraim and from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin, which they had brought back to Jerusalem. So all of the monies that they had gathered together, that's how they're going to do everything for the work of the ministry and the work of God. And then they put it in the hand of the foreman, who had the oversight over the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. So they began to rebuild the place of worship with the money that God had supplied so they could continue to worship God and beautify the house of the Lord, and then people could continue to gather together in the house of God.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Call us at 800-634-9165 or connect with us at somebodylovesyou.com. For more Bible-based guidance for your daily life, catch Straight Talk with Raul every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time on his YouTube channel. Now let's get back to today's lesson.
Verse 11. And they gave it to the craftsmen and the builders to buy hewn stone and timber for beams, and to the floor the houses which kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and their overseers were Jehath and Obadiah the Levites, and the sons of Moriah and Zechariah and Meshullam, and the sons of the Kohathites, to supervise. Other of the Levites, all of whom were skillful in instruments of music, they're doing all the Lord's work and the ministry together in harmony, working together to beautify the place and the worship of God once again. We need men and women like this today to accomplish the work of God in the house of God. The musicians play a big role. They are involved in the work of God, the importance of music in the church to bring people into a place of worship, preparing them before the teaching of the Word of God so their heart is ready to receive the Word of God. In the Old Testament, when they went out to the battle, it wasn't the pastors, it wasn't the soldiers that went to the front lines, it was the musicians leading the army into battle, worshiping the Lord, you see? That's the importance of musicians and the importance of music. Not attracting people to themselves or attention to themselves, but bringing the people into the presence of the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. That's what it's all about. And here it is, we see it. Verse 13. He says, and they were over the burdens, barriers, and were overseers of all who did the work, any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. And now, he says, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given to Moses. Now, imagine they're cleaning up the house of the Lord and they don't have a Bible. And guess what they do? They find the word of God stacked up somewhere, full of dust. Hasn't been read, hasn't been studied. And so here is again in the house of the Lord, the word of God, which what? The word of God brings revival through the study of the word of God. That's what's happened here at Calvary Chapel. That's what we have Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, Sunday mornings. Different things in the church going on, a Bible school. Because the word of God is what keeps revival going. People learning, people submitting themselves, people studying, people growing in the word of God. The importance of the teaching and the study of God's word. Here it is again. As they begin to clean the house of God. Verse 14 again. He says, and the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. They found the five books of Moses. And then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, hey, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Notice that in the cleaning of the house of the Lord. And so Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word saying, all that was committed to your servant, they are doing. And they have gathered the money together that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. And then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has found me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. Can you believe that? All of a sudden he began to hear the word of God and it humbled him. And it broke him. And it brought him to a place of remembrance how he was taught as a little child the word of God. And then the king commanded Hilkiah, verse 20, Ahilkam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, why don't you go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found? For great is the wrath of the Lord God that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. You want to know why God's wrath comes? It's because people don't obey the word of God. That's why the judgment of God comes. You see, as long as churches teach the word of God and there is revival within that church, listen, we are safe. But the day that any church doesn't teach the word of God and they go on to a social gospel and entertainment and hype and there's no more life in the church because of the word of God not being taught, that church will not only die, the wrath of God will come upon those people. God was getting ready to bring judgment upon the whole nation. And here in the midst of judgment, God allows them to find the word of God. And what does the king want to do? He wants to inquire of the Lord. What does he want me to do? Verse 22. And so Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah, she was a prophetess. Notice she, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tekoath, the son of Harak, keeper of the wardrobe. And she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her to that effect. So God had prophets and had prophetess in the Old Testament. And then she answered them and said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the men who send you to me, thus saith the Lord. Notice, she's speaking for God. Behold, I will bring calamity on this place, on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah, because they, here's a reason why, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods. that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. Notice what he says. So here it is. Look what else he says. Verse 26. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Notice the leader, the king. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, saith the Lord. Any leader in America or the world that humbles themselves and repents and turns to God, God will hear him. Notice what he says. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king. Can you believe that? He says, you, king, are going to be okay. But the people that are coming are going to see it. Doesn't that remind you of something? The great indignation, the great wrath of God that is coming for the last 7 years of world history, the people that are going to be here, but we're not going to be here because God has not appointed us unto wrath. Same thing. God's going to deliver us. But once the church is taken out of the way, all hell is going to break loose. The world hasn't seen nothing yet. And yet here we can learn from history. God says to Josiah, Josiah, you're going to be okay. You're going to die. You're going to be buried with your fathers. You're going to go to heaven. But the next generation, they're going to see it.
Well, as you consider how to best nurture a strong spiritual heritage for your family, we hope you'll be inspired by the revival that King Josiah ignited in the people of Judah. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for the lesson from 2 Chronicles chapters 34 through 36. We'd also like to equip you with a motivational resource from Raul titled Practical Living. This 365-day devotional illuminates scripture that will lift your heart and guide your decisions as you learn to listen for God's leading in your life. You'll see that when you take time to quiet yourself before the Lord, He can align your heart with His and direct you in His perfect will. Contact us today to order Raul's Practical Living devotional at the discounted rate of just $5 plus shipping and handling. To place your order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We're always looking for ways to support your journey with the Lord, and we welcome your feedback and ideas. We'd also like to tell you about several free Somebody Loves You resources that can deepen and strengthen your faith. Our app is easy to download to your iPhone or Android and gives you instant access to Raul's teaching, as well as digital Bible studies and a convenient scripture reading plan. For more insights from God's Word, use iTunes or Spotify to download free podcasts of any of these programs. You'll also want to visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to subscribe to Raul's free daily devotional emails. And, of course, visit us anytime on Facebook and Instagram. This ministry is made possible by generous partners like you, and we want to thank you for all of your tax-deductible donations. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll begin a new series in Mark's Gospel. As we delve into the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts will surely be lifted by assurances of the Lord's magnificent love. Here's Raul once again with a closing thought from today's teaching.
Notice verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah in Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Notice how beautiful here. Notice that he was not only motivated by God, but he motivated others. Even though he had secured his future, yet he cared for the next generation. That's my urgency. Listen, I'm secure in Christ. I know where I'm going. I know my days are numbered. But man, what's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to my granddaughters? What's going to happen to yours? You see, we may be secure, but what about them? What about that whole world out there that is in darkness? I mean, that all those little children that are being born even tonight, what's going to happen? We need to care. He cared. He wanted them to hear the truth of God.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.